Some of the biggest names in baseball for starting pitchers are free agents this offseason. We're talking about Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw. And as part of today's Locked On Giants podcast, well, all of today's Locked On Giants, we're going to be answering your questions from Twitter. And one of those questions is, are the Giants going to sign any of those guys? There are other questions about Starling Marte and if he's become a more attractive option for the outfield with Chris Taylor getting hit with the qualifying offer. And speaking of the qualifying offer, there's a question about, did the Giants do the right thing not issuing the qualifying offer to Anthony DeSclafani and Alex Wood? So we get into all of that next on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. And coming up on today's show, as I said, we're going to get into a mailbag. It is normally Mailbag Monday, but we're doing this on a Tuesday because there was a lot that happened over the weekend. Probably not the best planning on my part to make it Mailbag Monday. If only Mailbag had a T in it, because I think Tuesdays are better for that, but we'll see what the plan is moving forward. But anyway, without further delay, I'm going to jump right into the questions. The first couple come from Eric and Tape Bubba, who asks, well, Eric asks, likelihood they sign Scherzer and Verlander. And then Tape Bubba asks, will the 2022 rotation be Webb, Scherzer, Verlander, Gausman, Kershaw? So I don't know how much of these questions are being facetious and trying to make kind of a joke, but these are some big names. Like it really strikes me that this free agent class for starting pitchers has some of the biggest names in starting pitching out there in Scherzer, Verlander, and Kershaw. And there are other really great candidates as well. And of course, in that second question, Gausman is also a free agent. So to answer Tape Bubba's question, no, I mean, that will not be the 2022 rotation. And I'll say why. Clayton Kershaw, I would expect him to sign with the Dodgers and nobody else. He's kind of like Posey, right? He's just not going to play for another team. I guess the one exception is if there's just somehow a way that the Dodgers don't give him what he deserves and he wants to keep playing and some other team is willing to do it. But I would put strong money against Clayton Kershaw pitching for the San Francisco Giants. I just think legacy-wise, it's just probably not something that is attractive to him. And you can understand why. It's like, will Posey be the Dodgers catcher? Of course not. There's just almost no way to imagine that scenario coming to pass. Obviously, now that he's retired. But a couple of those guys are interesting. And I think the most likely would probably be Justin Verlander. And his market is possibly heating up as we speak, because he threw in front of scouts, I want to say it was yesterday on Monday, and apparently there was like 10 to 15 or 15 to 20 teams represented there. We don't have official word that the Giants were among those teams, but I would bet anything on the Giants being among the teams that was there. And the reason for that is, why would they not be, right? They have all of these rotation spots to fill. Justin Verlander has been a great pitcher in his career, and the Giants have money to spend, and they also are an attractive destination for pitchers. So there's really no reason the Giants wouldn't be there. So I expect that they were, And to me, he is a guy who is a realistic candidate for the San Francisco Giants to sign. One caveat is that the Astros did put the qualifying offer on him. So if he were to sign with the Giants would surrender a draft pick to the Astros in order to make that signing. But he is good enough that I think it would be a worthwhile move. And the Giants have become a win-now enough team that I think it's worthwhile to do that. The thing is about Verlander, obviously he has the $18.4 million offer, the qualifying offer. And so you're going to have to do better than that. And the reports are that he wants a multi-year deal. So moving on, I've expressed that I think Verlander is a very realistic possibility. Max Scherzer, I would love to see Max Scherzer in a Giants uniform. I think that they did try to trade for him. I don't know that we're ever going to have the full details of what the Giants offered, but of course the Dodgers ended up adding or requesting that the Nationals add Trey Turner into the package, and only then were they willing to part with really good prospects, and that makes sense. But anyway, I think the Giants really, really like Scherzer, and they would love to have him. The question I have is whether Scherzer would want to pitch for the Giants. And the reason for that is that I have heard he has family in the Southern California area and that he likes the heat. And San Francisco, not known as a place with heat. It just isn't. And I'm sure the Dodgers would love to have him back. So I put a lot of money on Scherzer returning to LA. Unfortunately, I would love to see Scherzer and Verlander. I would love to see that. Scherzer did not get the qualifying offer. He wasn't eligible. He's received it in the past, and he was traded mid-season. Both of those make players ineligible to receive it. So anyway, the likelihood that they sign them both, probably low. I mean, of course, it's low, but Verlander, I would say decently high, and Gausman also even more high odds that he would return to the San Francisco Giants. So coming up next, we'll get into a lot more questions. There's a question about Starling Marte's fit, Chris Taylor's fit now that he's been slapped with a qualifying offer, and then the Giants qualifying offer decisions on Wood, DeSclafani, and Brandon Belt. We're back and better than ever, though. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so as promised, we are going to get into more of your questions. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions. We had 40 questions this week, so I obviously can't get to all of them in these shows, but thank you so much. And thank you also for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. The next question comes from Gerald Say It Ain't So, who asks, Starling Marte, better option than Chris Taylor now that Taylor has been or has a qualifying offer tied to him? So I don't think of these players as mutually exclusive, but Chris Taylor getting slapped with a qualifying offer did, for me, change the likelihood of the Giants pursuing him. I thought that he was a pretty good fit for the Giants. I even made an episode talking about who was a better fit in free agency, Chris Taylor or Chris Bryant. And part of the rationale behind that question for me was the contract. And it was really interesting, and something we're going to talk about later this week is MLB Trade Rumors, ESPN, and Fangraphs, among other sources, released their contract predictions for free agents. And speaking of Chris Bryant, it's just wild the variance in the predicted contracts. One source had him at $90 million over 5 years. Another source had him at $200 million over 8 years. So we'll get into that later this week and what I expect and whether I think the Giants will be in on that. But Taylor was, for me, a really good option because I thought he gave you some of that Chris Bryant production and versatility, but would not cost nearly as much. But yeah, the qualifying offer being put on him does decrease the odds of the Giants pursuing him simply because it's an added cost. You have to pay the salary, plus you have to surrender a second round type draft pick in order to sign the player. And again, they're going to be looking at other players like Justin Verlander who have the qualifying offer on them. And so it's a matter of how many prospects are you willing to give up to sign certain guys and what caliber of prospect, because there's a cost, right? Those guys are worth something. And so then you have to factor that in to part of the cost. And that's why, I mean, guys who just don't have the draft pick associated with them are more attractive options. And so, yeah, Starling Marte, the fact that he didn't get a qualifying offer, he was not eligible as someone who was traded mid-season, I do just really think Starling Marte stands out as a good fit for the Giants in free agency. And part of the reason is that he would add an element to the Giants that they just simply don't have a lot of, and that is speed and athleticism and game-changing speed. And Farhan Zaidi himself said at some point after the season ended, I think it was either in that post-season press conference or when he did a podcast with like Alex Pavlovich after the season, he talked about wanting to get more athletic and adding more speed elements to the Giants. And so, you know, alarm bells, lights went off in my head thinking about Starling Marte, who just put up a 5.4 Fangraphs wins above replacement season. He does have a PED suspension in his past, so that's just something to keep in mind. I don't know, you know, the Giants have this whole all kind of likable guys thing going, and I don't know how much they would factor in someone who has a PED suspension in terms of maybe not being the right clubhouse presence for them. But anyway, he had a great season, and I think he would fit the San Francisco Giants really well, and he could just kind of slot into center field. I think that they're a little bit thin in their outfield, and they're going to have to add at least one outfielder this offseason. So yeah, I think that it does change the calculus a little bit with Chris Taylor getting the qualifying offer. Next question comes from Gerald Say It Ain't So. Hey, back-to-back questions. Didn't even realize that until now. Who asks, was Alex Wood really not worth the qualifying offer? With the way he pitched in the postseason, I thought he would be worth the one-year deal, especially when $22 million unexpectedly freed up. And of course, the point there is that Posey's expected $22 million option being picked up is moot with him retiring. So the point is the player worth that much? It's simply a question of, do you think the player is worth that contract? 1 year, $18.4 million. If they're worth that much and up, then you give them the qualifying offer as long as they're eligible. And the point to make is that Alex Wood is very clearly not worth $18.4 million over 1 year. I mentioned just a minute ago that the sources put out their expected contracts, and pretty much across the board, the expected contract for Alex Wood was about an average of $10 million over 2 or 3 years. I think actually all the sources had two or fewer years. So we're talking about roughly $20 million over two seasons versus the qualifying offer is roughly $20 million over one season. So you can see how $18.4 million would be considered an overpay for 1 year of Alex Wood. And chances are he would accept that offer, but in reality, you could probably bring him back for 2 years and $22 million or something like that. And so that's a better deal for the Giants and therefore not worth putting the qualifying offer on him. And the next question comes from David, who says, surprised DeSclafani didn't get the qualifying offer. Chances 0 to 100 Giants find a way to sign him anyway. I am not surprised that DeSclafani didn't get the qualifying offer. If you want my full explanation on that, I did talk about it on Monday's podcast, But it's basically the same point, which is that over one season, I just don't think that Anthony DeSclafani is worth $18.4 million. There's inherent value on a one-year deal because risk is diminished. But, you know, so even if you don't think they're worth $18.4 million per year, the fact that it's 1 year does make it more attractive. So in general, for contracts for players, the longer the duration of the contract, the less the average annual value. And so, you know, $18.4 million over 1 year, you're not going to get $18.4 million over 2 years, you know, times two, 36.8. It would go down to maybe 17, you know. So DeSclafani, for 1 year, the question you have to ask yourself is, if this player, if you could only give 1 year players, 1 year deals to these players, what would that cost be? And for Anthony DeSclafani, I think maybe you're talking more like $14 million, something like that, as opposed to 18.4. So no, I'm not surprised. But the chances that the Giants and DeSclafani work out a deal anyway, I would put at probably below 50%, but not that much below, maybe 33%. I think there are pretty good odds, but at the same time, I have talked about how I think Alex Wood may be a better long-term fit for the Giants, and Anthony DeSclafani may have played his way out of a contract that the Giants would want to give, which is not to say he's not worth it, but just that they think there's more like surplus value in Alex Wood. So I put the odds of Alex Wood returning slightly higher than that, maybe 40%, maybe 38%, I don't know, something like that. But, you know, good, decent chance for DeSclafani to be back, but far from a given. And at the top of the list, I might put Kevin Gausman, even though that contract would be pretty expensive, probably. But like Chris Bryant, there was just huge variance in the predicted contract for Kevin Gausman. So again, we're going to talk about that all throughout the rest of this week. Coming up next, we have a lot more questions to get to. We're going to talk about the trade candidacy of some starting pitchers out there on the market. This is a really interesting one. And we'll talk about Brandon Belt and so much more. So, all right, we're going to get to that now. And the next question comes from Keith Ski, who asks, if Brandon Belt doesn't accept the qualifying offer, who are our first base options, both in-house and potential signings? So this is a good question because it's one that could very well come to fruition. I think that there's a pretty darn good chance that Brandon Belt is back, but what happens if he's not? And the in-house options are pretty much what you saw down the stretch in the season in the last nine games or so when Belt was hurt and into the postseason. And that is some combination of Lamont Wade Jr. and Wilmer Flores, who is going to be back. The Giants picked up his club option, and Darren Ruff as well. So I think that that would be a decent kind of situation. It kind of lacks stability. Wilmer Flores is going to be a free agent after 2022. Darren Ruff has a couple more years of club control, but we're probably mostly talking about him as a platoon guy on the weak side of a platoon, meaning facing left-handed pitchers. And there are less left-handed pitchers in the league than right-handed pitchers, just like in the general population. And Lamont Wade Jr. does have a lot of club control, but I think some of his value is wasted by playing him at first base. There's more defensive value in being a corner outfielder than there is in being a first baseman. And so the in-house options are not particularly great. I have seen some people suggest Joey Bart, but the only reason you would do that is if he's really not capable defensively, because I talked about this yesterday, talking with Javier Reyes about Buster Posey's Hall of Fame candidacy, but I said, if Posey was a first baseman, he's no question not a Hall of Famer. So much of his value came from being a good defensive catcher to go along with good offense. And so you just lose a lot of defensive value by playing first base, and the bar is so much higher to perform offensively. Like, you better be darn good offensively in order to justify being a first baseman in this league. And so, yeah, you lose value by playing there. And then the other options. I mean, Freddie Freeman is a free agent, but kind of in that Kershaw realm. I just would be shocked if he doesn't end up back in Atlanta. And he just seems like in Atlanta through and through. There are some other somewhat intriguing options. Kyle Schwarber is out there with the DH likely to come to the National League. Schwarber becomes a better fit because he could play first. I think he played first with the Red Sox and proved that he could do it, at least somewhat. I'm actually not positive how he looked defensively there, but you know, he could DH and play first base for you. Anthony Rizzo is out there, and he's kind of coming off some decline, and so there's going to be the projected contract for him, which is maybe something we'll talk about this week also, is pretty darn low. I think it's like 2 years, $22 million by some, at least one source. And that's pretty crazy how far Rizzo has fallen. But, you know, so you can get potentially an Anthony Rizzo caliber player for not too much of a cost. Beyond that, it's really kind of a bleak market. Yoshi Tsutsugo is just one other name I've mentioned. And again, he doesn't necessarily have a great defensive position. I think first base is his best position, but I'd have to look a little deeper into that. But he was really good for the Pirates after starting the year with the Rays, and then that didn't work out, then went to the Dodgers, that didn't work out. But then with the Pirates, he did have some really good performance. So he's just an interesting guy to kind of keep tabs on. But so yeah, I mean, there are some trade candidates. Matt Olson may very well be on the move from the Oakland A's, with the A's apparently looking to shed payroll. What else is new? I can't believe for that franchise what they go through. Every 3 to 4 years, they kind of tear it down and they just don't retain their own players. So Matt Olson is probably out there and he could be a possibility. But I just think it's all simplified by just bringing back Brandon Belt, which, you know, he could just accept the qualifying offer. That wouldn't be too shocking. So that's kind of how I see it going down. The last question comes from Alex, who says, do you see Luis Castillo as a good fit for a short-term deal for market rebuilding? He had a down year, and the Giants have lots of history with that front office, most of their rotation last year. Yeah, the Reds front office, they do have a history. I think Farhan Zaidi has a history with the Reds. They have pulled off some big trades, the Dodgers and Reds, when Zaidi was there. So Luis Castillo is, you know, he started his career with the Giants and they traded him in the Casey McGee deal. And he has since gone on. He ended up with the Reds and he's become one of the best pitchers in the game. And I mean, he is coming off a down year. He did end up with a 3.98 ERA, but that's not so bad considering how poorly the year started for him. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see Luis Castillo in a Giants uniform. The question is, what are you going to have to give up to get him? And this is a question I also posed when people started talking about the likelihood of the Giants making trades for some of the A's starters who are probably available, like Chris Bassett and Sean Manaea. Now, these guys are good pitchers, and I would love to have them on the Giants, but the Giants could just sign guys. Like that kind of rhetorical joke question, I think, of Scherzer, Verlander, Gausman, and Kershaw. It's like, why not try to sign those guys instead of trading away prospects and paying the salaries for the players you would be acquiring, like Luis Castillo? So you have to factor that in, that the Giants could just build out a rotation simply by signing guys, and they wouldn't have to give up prospects. So at a certain point, like if the prospect isn't Marco Luciano or whatever, and you just feel comfortable that it's the right deal for you and you're not giving up too much and it's fair for both sides, then yeah, Luis Castillo would be great. But is the question, what is the likelihood? Do you see Castillo as a good fit? Yeah, I mean, starting pitching, the Giants need it. Luis Castillo, I'm a big fan of his. He throws upper 90s sink, and I just think 2021 was probably somewhat of an anomaly for him, and a new environment and the Giants pitching infrastructure would probably do him wonders. So Giants should be connected to like every starting pitcher, whether it's a trade or a free agent. And I don't think Luis Castillo is any different. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Aram Layton is an encyclopedia of prospects, and he breaks down the stars of tomorrow each and every day. That show is free and available on all platforms as well. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much, so thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. We're going to get into those expected contracts and also some news. Farhan Zaidi named executive of the year, so we'll talk about that too. Anyway, I can't wait to be with you then. Thanks again for listening. Stay locked on, Giants.